We got new boots, and I'm so thrilled. They're Tecovas boots. And you know why I'm so excited about getting Tecovas boots and why I was so happy to get mine in the mail? Because the girlies from Potomac went to the Tecovas store in the most recent season of Real Housewives of Potomac, and I was like, if Robin and Karen have Tecovas, I want Tecovas.
Well, I have a good reason, too, because I've been doing a bunch of line dancing, and I didn't have any cowboy boots, and so I got my Tecovas, and let me tell you, the difference it makes to be dancing in cowboy boots... Huge.
On the line dancing floor. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. So you can really smack the floor and swing around. You need cowboy boots.
Yeah, I didn't get cowboy boots. I got Chelsea boots, but they're great. They're brown.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to see them.
They're just, I like taking them on and off. They're so lovely. They're kind of a beautiful leather. They're beautiful leather.
Well, they're bringing a fresh perspective to heritage bootmaking. They've carried forward all the time-honored traditions and quality you find in a great pair of cowboy boots, but they've innovated on comfort, style, and service. It's true because cowboy boots can be a little bit hard to break in.
Yep.
You know? Yep. Mine, I was swinging around, no pain.
No pain. And Tecovas is Western to their core. They offer a bunch of other head-to-toe Western staples like trucker jackets, the perfect jeans, performance pearl snaps, cowboy hats, bandanas, you name it. They'll get you outfitted. They believe in Western for all. And you can feel that when you go into their stores. When you walk in, you'll be greeted like family. I saw them do it to the girlies from the Real Housewives of Potomac. It seemed like they were being greeted like family. You'll be offered a boot shine and a drink. Yes, even the hard stuff if you prefer. And you can get custom fitted for a new pair of boots. But if you can't make it into a store, Tecovas delivers the most premium quality and the most comfortable Western goods right to your door. Visit Tecovas.com, that's Tecovas.com, and point your toes west.
You or Draylor? Yeah, yeah, Neil. Yeah, they wanna know. Hey. Neil.
Hey. Neil. Come on. Hey. I want to be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And I want to start by playing you the opening of a trailer for a movie. The trailer came out today.
I haven't seen it.
And it's getting like a good deal of headlines in very specific places.
Is it like places beating like your Twitter account? I like, know you're not tweeting
right now,
but yeah.
It's on people. But when you see what it is, you'll understand. I did not know about this movie. I mean, it will make sense if you had not heard about this movie until today. I knew about this movie because a friend of ours, Ben, shout out Ben, has been like obsessing over this movie. He's like, I need to see this movie. Did you know that this movie existed? There were a few
production stills.
I thought
you were going to talk about the Lorraine Bracco HGTV show. Under the Tuscan Sun,
No,
too.
That's far too dear
Mama
for me.
Mamma Mia, here we go again, colon.
Lorraine Bracco buys a house and what is it called? Like My Big Fat Italian Villa or something. It's called like something silly. It's called...
Is it? Oh,
it's
is
like
it?
My Big Fat Italian... Sorry, My Big Italian Adventure.
So Lorraine Bracco, sorry, before you get to your thing, Lorraine Bracco from The Sopranos, aka the iconic Dr. Melfi, is doing an Under the Tuscan Sun thing where she bought a like Sicilian vista.
Villa for $1.
Yeah, a villa for $1.
Yeah, she bought a villa for $1 and now she's going to renovate the whole thing as a show.
Oh, because small towns in Italy are selling vacant homes for just €1 in an effort to repopulate rural communities. So she's like, oh my God, that's a TV show idea.
She's like, I got a euro in here somewhere. And she's like going through her bag and like finding a single euro from the last time she went to Italy.
I believe life is an adventure, Bracco said in a press release. When I saw the article that you could buy a house in Sambuca for €1, I jumped on it. So I came on the plane, I bought the house. I'm very excited to be here to meet, work with the locals and live amongst them. I'm here to pay homage to my family that comes from Sicily. That is
that's great.
So sweet and also like so like... culturally on point in terms of like she's Sicilian, it's like she's reclaiming, she's contributing, da da da.
And it's also not quite Under the Tuscan Sun, because if you'll remember correctly, in Under the Tuscan Sun, yes, she moves into a dump and fixes it up, but she spends her entire life savings on it, or divorce settlement savings.
Okay, sure, but like, sure, but you know,
Lorraine just spent €1.
My Big Fat Italian Adventure premieres Friday, October 30th at 9 p.m. I'll be there.
This is not an HGTV podcast, but I'm definitely going to watch every episode of this. I will watch this live. Between this and The Mandalorian, like late October, hello, honey. Like, I'm not getting off the couch.
Sorry, back to your clip.
I've never sounded more my age than I did when I said I can't wait for an HGTV show and The Mandalorian to premiere around the same time.
I was going to say, like, keep me out of the narrative for Mandalorian. Thank you.
Okay, here's what's happening. The trailer. So again, shout out Ben. I wouldn't have known about this had it not been for Ben. Ever since he brought it up, I'm sort of like, I still couldn't really believe that the movie A, existed, but B, would ever see the light of day. But today, I open up my internet and then, you know, oh, the new trailer is here. The trailer for so-and-so's new movie is here, which is ridiculous. But tell me if you can recognize these voices. The two leads in the movie speak first. So it's like right off the bat, you will hear these voices. Tell me if you even know who this is. I'm going to play it.
Oh my God. I don't, what if I don't know?
Is this your first time in Scotland?
My first time anywhere, really. I've never seen anything except through the movies.
Oh, wow. Didn't know Mel Gibson was having a yard sale.
Good morning.
So it's about an American Southern lady. Uh-huh. She's like a widow, and she's like I'm going to see the world.
But
sort
sizzling.
Of. Yeah, we're thematically similar here. She's like, I'm going to go see the world. And then she goes to Scotland, and she falls in love with this Scottish man who owns a hotel in Scotland where she's staying. And the
Scottish man,
I'm pretty sure, I can't really tell from the trailer, but I think the Scottish man has like a hot ex or current fling who's like a British them, and this Southern American older woman comes in and is trying to steal away.
Can I ask you some questions? Is the sure. Southern American actress playing this woman, is she actually Southern in real life?
Well, the weird thing about this person is that while they resided in the South for a chunk of their life, because she lived in Oklahoma at one point, she currently lives in Nashville. I'm pretty sure she currently lives in Nashville, splits time at least, but she was actually born in Paris, which is really weird. But maybe you know this fact about this person.
Okay, wait, but it's not Reese Witherspoon.
No. It's a she's 60. She's 67
woman.
Years old.
Oh, she's an. Oh, who is it?
And the Scottish man, who is actually a Scottish man, is 58. How do you not recognize that voice? Come on.
Is he a Gleason?
No. Listen again.
Guys.
Can I have one of your chocolates here?
That's not a box of chocolates. I'm sorry. That's my husband.
You keep a dead husband inside a box of chocolates.
You're mad.
I'm just kind of sad.
Oh.
I gotta make new memories where the old ones are gonna kill me.
Let's get drunk.
Sometimes you're very cute.
You're good looking as well.
Wow.
As well as me. I'm still good looking.
Who is the only famous?
Oh, Craig.
Craig Ferguson. You got him.
Craig Ferguson, obviously. Ooh, I love him as a romantic lead.
No, and he's kind of hunky in this. Wait, and then listen. See if you can get the British them.
I don't think I know her.
See if you can get the British them. You absolutely know her. Let me play a little more. Listen.
You wanted to marry me.
Suddenly feel differently because this simple little woman turns up.
She's not that simple. She's complicated.
No, Keira Knightley.
No, she's older. It's a woman who's Craig Ferguson's age.
No, the British them.
No, I know. The British them is...
Okay, I don't know who these people... I don't know. Okay. Who's the,
the
who's
British
this
them,
Southern...
The British them, Elizabeth Hurley.
What?
Glamorous, right? Who is a woman who's 12 years Elizabeth Hurley's senior and is like not quite glamorous, but is sort of Southern and is... In the movie, she is a widow and that's her whole identity.
Yeah, well...
In real life, this woman, the fact that this woman is like fairly
Hollywood
recently
a widow
is pretty much her full identity. Here's another hint. She recently quit her job.
Sadly, the first thing I thought of was how What's-Her-Face left the show Mom, but she's not old enough and she's not Southern.
Who quit their job and had to be replaced by someone else? She quit her job where she is the co-host of a TV show.
Who is it? I don't know.
Kathy Lee Gifford.
Oh my God. Wait, Craig Ferguson and Kathy Lee Gifford are gonna like fuck?
Yes.
No!
Yes. The tagline for this movie, yes, Craig Ferguson is in the middle of a love triangle between Elizabeth Hurley and Kathy Lee Gifford. The tagline is, it's called Then Came You. She's taken with him. He's taken.
Wow, a classic tale. That's so kooky. Is it? It's not a Lifetime movie. It's like a movie.
No, it's a movie. I mean, it's as movie as a movie can be in late 2020. But yes, it's a movie. And let me tell you something. This is not a secret dare to dream situation. This is, when this is $19.99 to rent, I'm spending $19.99 to rent
it. You're not.
I'm spending.
P.S. Is the secret dare to dream still $20 to rent? Have we checked on it recently?
I checked as recently as Tuesday because I was kind of in a mood and I was like, you know what? I could really use the secret dare to dream and I didn't watch it. But I did watch Reversal of Fortune, which was very fun to watch. Currently on like HBO.
You texted the group chat by accident.
It's good.
The Then Came You poster.
Oh, I texted the wrong chat. Oh, whoops. Oh, they'll love it.
I mean, I'm in it, but...
They'll love it. You're listening to Who's There, a weekly call-in show where we take your questions, comments, and concerns at 619-WHO-THEM. Sorry to open with that really long banter, but I feel like it sort of, it was required. You know, we needed
to
talk
about that.
Yeah,
you could also cut it down.
No, I'll cut it down a lot. I'll cut it down a lot. Let's start with comments. We get a lot of comments today. Here's one.
Hi, Who Weekly. So you guys just like ring a bell. I'm listening to today's episode, Friday. And I'm named after, so my name is Marley, and I'm named after Anne Heche's character in that soap opera. And I know that I'm named after this character, but I've never like known which soap opera. My mom just watched so many, and I was so mad at her for naming me after a soap opera character that I just never really did the research. So you just like clarified for me who I'm actually named after. And that's really weird. So I just wanted to call you guys. It also like makes me feel like I'm your friend when you say my name. It's so weird. Okay. I love y'all. Anne Heche namesake.
A sign-off that can only be used by one person.
I have two things to say about that. One, thank God you're not named after, like, Marley and Me. Like, that's the other version of that that can go
wrong. The dog.
Like, the dog. The dog dies at the end. And the other cool thing about you being named after Marley Love and not her twin sister, Vicky Hudson, is that Marley Love was, like, the good twin. And Vicky was, like, the quote-unquote evil twin. So you got to be named after, like, the iconic good twin.
Mm-hmm. Carly's mom, I mean, Marley's mom knew that. Marley's mom knew she was going to name it.
I know,
the
but she didn't
twin.
Know until she heard our iconic episode and she said, wow, it's me. If I named my kid like after like the main character of, in Heart of Dixie, which I would never do, but just it came to me, like I would make sure that kid like knew the about Heart of Dixie and like watched it. That'd be like my number one goal, you know?
Your number one goal. Your number one goal. You know my nephew? Have I said this on the podcast? My nephew is named after George Bailey from It's a Wonderful Life. My other nephew is named after the town of Dillon, Texas from Friday Night Lights. It's spelled like the town. Because I was like, hey, why did you spell Dylan's name like that? And she's like, because it's named after Dillon, Texas of Friday Night Lights. And I've never watched Friday Night Lights, but my sister loves it.
It is nice. It's funny that your sister did two very different cultural like touch points. Like one is like kind of like classic Americana, like, you know, the, you know, kind of just like
she thinks he's just a decent person.
And then the other one's kind of like niche Texas TV. Like, it's kind of funny. Mm-hmm. They're like very different in terms of and also like a different generations of content. Completely.
But I'm just imagining when Dylan is, you know, 16, what is it going to be like to revisit Friday Night Lights in 2036.
I hope it's not canceled. I hope it's not canceled. I mean, not it is canceled, but you know what I'm saying.
Like Connie Britton is revealed to be some terrible monster. And he's like, you mean, Mom, you named me after the Connie Britton show? That's fucked up, Mom.
Well, that's the thing with culture is that you got to be careful with, you know, naming your kids after some cultural touch point or standing somebody or whatever, and you, because you never know what's going to happen, and then you're stuck with that thing. You can't get a tattoo with this shit, with these people shit on you anymore. You got to be careful.
No,
except for Bobby's tattoo. That movie will never.
No. I hope so.
My cousin Vinny will never.
I hope Marissa Tomei doesn't like get super canceled soon. I'll just cover it up. That's the thing. I could just like cover it up with a line. To be a committed fan of anything, a person or an object or a piece of art is to take a risk. You know, like it is a risk.
Yeah, truly.
If I ever need to redact or censor this tattoo, it can be done with a Sharpie. It's completely fine.
Every day you wake up and you Sharpie out your tattoo.
I'm just like bloop, bloop, bloop. You know, my morning routine. It's like memento. Okay, next call.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. I just had to pause the podcast because you were talking about Tuck Everlasting, Lindsay. And the only thing I keep remembering about that is the trailer kept using this song that was called, like, Thinking Over. And it was just, that was the only thing I remember about the movie. And it was by this woman named, like, Dana Glover. And I went down a rabbit hole because I was like, who is this woman? Like, what has she done? And, like, it looks like she's just been in, like, on soundtracks for, like, 2 Weeks Notice and Shrek Raising Helen. And this is all like 2003, 2004. And then she shows up as an actress in 2010. Anyways, it made me think of it. And I was like, I don't know. It was just odd. Crunch. Women Don't Belong in Balloons.
I'm so honored we sent you down this rabbit hole, like your own journey. Like you took a journey.
The early 2000s were such a specific, it's like coming of age and being really obsessed with movies and movie trailers, and also like having the internet, but the internet isn't quite good enough yet to like find out what a song is.
Right, like me literally having to watch trailers on television, like catch them or like find them or like watch a TV show. Remember a trailer that would like premiere during a show and you'd have to watch the show to like get the trailer? That's crazy.
Remember when you would watch E! Coming Attractions? And watch trailers, and that was the show. And then there would be regular commercials between the trailers because the trailers were the content. Crazy. But I remember the Tuck Everlasting trailer because I was like, even though I haven't seen Tuck Everlasting, by the way, I tried to watch it yesterday so I would have more context.
You did?
And I turned it on because it's on Disney Plus, and I got it maybe 15 minutes, and I was like, I can't do this. I was like, I'm sorry,
no!
I can't do this.
No,
I'm very sorry,
finish
I can't
it.
Do this.
Okay, fine.
But anyway.
I accept that. I'm willing to accept that.
So this trailer, I remembered it. I was like, this song didn't have a trailer with words. This song used...
It is... Ah,
Enya Book of Days.
Which like was in every single fucking trailer. Yeah.
The song goes like this. Let's play the song. And this triggered a memory because this song was in every trailer for about the span of 5 years. And I was obsessed with it.
Time.
And I had no idea what it was. There was no way to Google the lyrics or search the lyrics because it barely has lyrics. And when the lyrics are spoken, they're like ethereal and barely English. And I did not find out what this song was until I think I was in like college. And I was like, that's an Enya song. And that was me realizing that so many of these songs that I loved as a kid were Enya songs that I could not find. At that time in my life. Anyway, so I look it up, and this song is not only in the Tuck Everlasting trailer, it is in Anchorman, Billy Elliot, Marvin's Room, Phenomenon, The Deep End of the Ocean, which we talked about last week, and Tuck Everlasting, that song.
It also was used, fun fact, did you know it was used as a temporary track during the editing of James Cameron's film Titanic for the scene eventually accompanied by the musical cue called Take Her to See Mr. Murdoch.
Take Her to See Mr. Murdoch. That was the best track. Track six. Oh my God. Yeah. That's track
so
six
Book
of the
of Days, Book of Days was the holding song for Take Her to See Mr.
Oh my God. I bet
Murdoch.
It was a reference. I bet you it was a fucking reference.
It was ripped off. 100% ripped off.
Oh my God. It uses the same sounds. The instrumentation is identical. Oh my God. That's huge to me. Okay. So
that's huge to me.
Anyway, so I Googled this woman, Dana Glover. I cannot find the version of this trailer to save my life. I've looked on every corner of the internet
wait,
for
so
this
the
trailer.
So the caller's a liar?
No, the caller is not a liar because the only instance you find of Tuck Everlasting and Dana Glover is old ass message boards from 2002 where people are saying, what is the beautiful song in the Tuck Everlasting trailer? And everyone's like, it's Dana Glover thinking it over. And they're linking to trailers. Links don't exist
anymore.
That are
anymore. Dead. Oh,
and then it's like
God,
2009.
It's
exactly.
It's
and it's like 2009
mystery.
And people are saying, remember like years ago, there was a great song and it had these lyrics in the Tuck Everlasting trailer. And everyone's like, oh my God, I loved that trailer. I loved that song. It's in Raising Helen. But I cannot find the trailer anywhere. So I guess it's this weird international trailer or just a TV spot. Who the fuck knows? It's nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
But it is, the song is featured heavily. And I think a climactic scene in Raising Helen. This is what the song sounds like.
Oh, wow, I know this song. If you you go to this woman's Wikipedia, actually, I've never seen this before. It says she's known for performing film songs. Like, that's like her thing.
That's her thing.
Like, she's not really, like, she performs songs for films, but like not as much outside. And it says she recorded for the film The Wedding Planner the song Plan On Forever, a duet with the film's composer Mervyn Warren. Then she recorded It Is You I Have Loved for the Shrek soundtrack. Thinking It Over was in the movie Raising Helen. Other songs, The Way, radio song for the movie 2 Weeks Notice, and Maybe from The Laws of Attraction, and The Truth Lies from the Frankie Patente film Blueprint. She also appeared on the Desperate Housewives soundtrack. And
she performs it in the show. I think she plays, she like sings in the show. She's like a character. It's like a Vonda Shepherd experience.
Anyways, that's crazy that this woman is like known for this, because usually it's like the opposite direction.
Looks like there was like a 5-year period where she was like the go-to person to write a song for a movie that was sort of stocky but emotional.
Yeah, yeah, weird. Because she has that tone that's like lady singing desperately. So it's like it is good for a movie that's like, I'm a woman and I'm trying to figure out what to do, you know? Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out what to do, and in the end, everything's going to be just fine. I have faith in it. I have faith in love.
Yeah.
I have faith in life.
Yeah.
Wow. Speaking of advertising.
Hi, you guys, I'm listening to the podcast and you were just talking about Cecily Strong selling Prego pasta sauce, and I thought you guys meant Cecily Tyson. I'm so dumb. Because you're like, oh, yeah, like, I know that woman. Prego, cool. Sweet Tyson. It's like Prego pasta sauce. Oh, God. Anyway, I know we're not doing the name confusion blindness situation anymore, but especially Strong Cecily Tyson. Oh, God. Jesus. Crunch, crunch, me in Greece. Bye.
The disrespect. I'm joking.
Cecily Tyson does not want you to buy Prego or Triscuits.
Well, Cecily Tyson did appear in Fried Green Tomatoes, but she doesn't want those tomatoes to be turned into sauce, and she doesn't approve of Prego.
Cecily Tyson, total them.
What's funny is that Cecily Strong and Cecily Tyson, they have not the same name, actually. The letters are switched. It's Cecily is C-E-C-I-L-Y, and Cecily is C-I-C-E-L-Y.
Cecily Tyson, Cecily Strong.
But they both have last names that actually, they don't sound alike, but Strong and Tyson, to me, are very same-ish in my mind.
They're hefty names, I think. They're hefty.
Powerful. Powerful.
Strong, powerful names. I think they both have really good names.
But Cecily has done advertising. Don't get us wrong.
Yes, Cecily has done advertising. Also, Cecily Tyson is one of those people who will just like keep acting and appearing in things until she is literally dead. She's like,
well, her
ageless.
Top article, if you search her name, the top article is Hollywood legend Cecily Tyson, and while she'll never retire. It's like, we get it.
Yeah, she's never going to stop.
Yeah.
Like, she was literally in a movie this year. Like, she's not going to stop being in things. She's hasn't quite. I was like, oh, she's definitely one of the EGOTs because she's won like every award. But she hasn't gotten the Grammy.
She can get the Grammy. That's easy.
She's won 3 Emmys, 4 Black Reel Awards, 1 SAG, 1 Tony, an Academy Award, and a Peabody Award. And a Peabody, please. Peabodys are more worthwhile than a Grammy. Give me a
I was going to say, I feel like a Peabody is more important than a Grammy. But I really do. She should EGOT, so she should just do some sort of like spoken word thing. I don't know if she can sing. Of course, she probably can sing.
Of course she can sing. Anyway, so Cecily Tyson, I was like, I wonder if Cecily Tyson has done ads. Like, there are probably some really good vintage ads if you Google this. And turns out, yeah, there are some really good vintage ads. She's done vintage ads for Reynolds Wrap, which I found thumbnails for, but all the videos were taken down. So she did Reynolds Wrap. Plastic wrap, not aluminum foil. I guess they used to do both. And then she did ads for RCA televisions. Listen to this. Oh my God. Listen to this. Cecily Tyson, RCA commercial from 1977.
Cecily Tyson for Color Track by RCA.
My rose is red, my skin is dark brown, and my dress is bright orange. If these colors don't look right to you, you should know about Color Track from RCA. Getting the color right is what Color Track is all about. It actually adjusts the colors and locks them on track.
Before you see the color, the Color Track system grabs it, aligns it, defines it, sharpens it, tones it, and locks the color on track.
RCA is making television better and better.
Wait, she's so old, she did an ad for color TV. I'm sorry, that's wild.
The rose is red, my skin is dark brown, and my dress is orange. if these colors don't look right to you, you need a new TV.
I'm not being rude. She's 95. She's old. She's been around. But it's just wild to me. Like, that's a good, like, context to put somebody's age within. It's like, that's literally how long she's been active, around, working, famous, is that. Like, she did an ad for color TV.
Yes. She also did this ad, which is my new favorite ad of all time. And I am so glad. I'm so glad this ad exists. Listen.
You are the new American society. The movers and the shakers. You are the new coffee generation.
Because coffee lets you calm yourself down and picks you up. Coffee gives you the serenity to dream it and the vitality to do it. No other drink does that like coffee.
Join the coffee achievers.
Good luck to you.
I love coffee, but those are all fucking lies. Coffee does not do any of those things. Coffee makes you shit your pants and go crazy.
And go crazy. In 1983, this is actually fascinating because I watched the trailer, I watched the commercial, and I was like, it's a montage of celebrities, and I could name all of them. It's David Bowie, Cicely Tyson, Jane Curtin, and then a sport person. Joe Namath. I don't know I don't know who the sport person is, but then like the bulk of it is clearly like staged reenacting. Like, it was a clip from a David Bowie music video. It was a clip from Saturday Night Live with Jane Curtin. It was a clip from a sports game. And then there's Cicely Tyson rehearsing on stage for the bulk, like a full 10 seconds of the commercial. And she's drinking coffee with her castmate. And it's like, wow. And she's the only one who's actually labeled. She's named. It's like Cicely Tyson rehearsing. And then at the end, she wins like some award, which clearly looks fake. Like, it's her winning an award because the camera's right in her face. And she's like, oh. And then she goes up to accept her award. And then it ends with her holding coffee and she says, good luck to you, which is so strange. Good luck to you.
Good luck to you.
The National Coffee Association in the mid 80s was like, we're fucked. No young people are drinking coffee. Everyone thinks coffee is for old people. This is a disaster. We need to market to young people. And how do we do this? And they came up with this idea for something called the Coffee Achievers.
It's crazy to think that coffee, like the industry of coffee, the coffee makers of the world, had to figure out a way to make coffee cool. Like, people weren't drinking coffee. They didn't understand. It wasn't for them a daily drink. Young people weren't into it. Coffee stunts your growth. Remember that rumor? I mean, it might still, it might do that. I don't know. I never debunked it, but like, that was a thing. Remember in Clueless, they say that?
What are you, Snopes? Lindsay Snopes Weber?
No, but like, I never, like, remember in Clueless where she's like, coffee stunts your growth? Like, that's literally in movie Clueless. Oh, yeah.
You know, there are certain things that I've learned in Clueless that I will never unlearn.
That's Gen X lore, is what I'm saying. Yeah.
The coffee sellers, they're like, you have to drink coffee. It's really cool. We promise you. And the way they convince young people that coffee is cool is via Cicely Tyson, David Bowie, and Jane Curtin.
Which is just unthinkable because it's like you're trying to reach young people and it's like, let's get like acclaimed actress Cicely Tyson to like drink coffee.
Weird Al made fun of the Coffee Association ad in his song Dare to Be Stupid.
You can be a coffee achiever, you can sit around the house and watch Leave It to Beaver. The future's up to you, so what you gonna do? Dare to be stupid, dare to be stupid.
They called them coffee achievers. Like, that was achiever. Like, be a coffee achiever. Be a coffee achiever.
Join the coffee achievers.
We're still in the glory days of advertising. So these are coked up people on Madison Avenue who got paid millions of dollars to come up with that phrase. And then they like went and, you know, got wasted at some bar. And we're like, we did it, folks. It's nuts to think about this.
Yeah,
it was an unsuccessful ad campaign. Apparently it didn't work. The thing that got people into coffee was like, you know, Starbucks culture in the 90s. Sit down latte culture, like Frasier, Friends, you know, Friends.
Right.
Not this.
Good luck to you.
We got 1 million calls about this, so I'll play one of them. Here we go.
Hi, Who Weekly. Just had to pause Friday's podcast because you asked, does Terry Bradshaw know who Carrie Bradshaw is? And I thought I would just remind everyone that they, Sarah Jessica Parker and Terry Bradshaw co-starred in Failure to Launch. Okay, crunch. Bye.
Failure to Launch, one of the classic movies where Matthew McConaughey is being held up by a woman on the poster.
Oh my God, you're right. Great movie. You're right. So Terry Bradshaw knows who Sarah Jessica Parker is. But the question is, does Terry Bradshaw know who Carrie Bradshaw is? Probably. But does Carrie Bradshaw know who Terry Bradshaw is? Probably not. Although she did date a lot of people. So maybe she dated like a sports guy. That's my only thing if I'm like thinking within the world.
Did she date the baseball player or did Miranda? I already forgot. No, she did. She did.
I don't
she did.
Fucking
she did.
Know.
When she's like smoking and like... Yankee Stadium or whatever. Okay, last comment.
Hi, Who Weekly, medium time. As a big racing fan, I just wanted to call in and drop some Lewis Hamilton knowledge. He's definitely a them. He's the most successful race car driver of his generation, and you can make an argument that he's the greatest race car driver of all time. He's one of the highest paid athletes in the world, and has won the last 5 out of 6 Formula One championships, and is about to win number 6. Even more impressive is he's the only black driver in Formula One, and one of only 2 black drivers in the 3 major racing series, that are being Bubba Wallace and NASCAR. Lewis has made headlines lately going after Formula One's Re-Races One campaign, and he's accused Formula One for saying they believe in social justice but not actually taking any action. He's even challenged other drivers for not kneeling for national anthems and not doing enough for the cause. Mario Andretti, another legend, even called him militant for doing so. Last weekend, he made even more headlines for wearing the Arrest the Cops Who Killed Breonna Taylor t-shirt on the winner's podium. Formula One scrubbed all the photos of him on their social media, and they're even investigating him for wearing the shirt. So anyway, just wanted to share a little more about Lewis and from my corner of the racing world, and got a lot of...
I love that. I love hearing info. I love info. I feel like he gets, like, diminished to, like, dating by, quote, us, because we only read the Daily Mail, and because we don't know anything about and we don't know anything about racing, but, like, this guy literally is not only a them, but he's the number one. He's the number one in what he does. He's the best. He's the best in the world.
Interesting that he's the best and the most scrutinized. That's interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, he's really the whole package, isn't he?
Yeah, it's true. He's so rich. It's wild. You always forget, because race car driving, they win really big shit. Like, they, like, win. The packages that they win are huge, and also their sponsorships are huge. It's just, like, a huge sport in terms of money situation.
Yeah, and then you got this whole thing where it's, like, the caller was saying that, like, Formula One was treating him like shit because he was, doing, like, activism, and he was standing up and, like, speaking up about the death of George Floyd. And then you have Formula One, like, first, like the caller said, scrubbing the photos off of their social feeds, and then they say... They, quote, support him totally and describe him as a great ambassador of the sport.
Yeah.
But you know what? He's laughing all the way to the bank. So good for Lewis Hamilton.
Speaking of people who are at the top of their game.
Oh, we're moving on to questions. Great.
You know, I've tried lots of things to get me to go to sleep in the past, you know, few years. Just a little bit of a push. You've got your melatonin, you got your various things. But I've found that of all the things, a little bit of CBD, a little bit of CB distillery, that's getting me...
Goes a long way.
Getting me conked right out and sleeping through the night.
It really is. I love CB distillery. They have... Not all their products are for sleep. Some are for relaxation. But, like, I love the sleep ones. They say, shh.
Those gummies they sent us, I was in a chill vibe all day when I took 2 of those.
They're good-ass gummies. They're good-ass gummies. No, you were. You were like, I took CBD earlier today and I feel chill.
I'm, like, not operating heavy machinery on those things. You know what I mean? I'm in a good place.
Heavy machinery?
What did I say?
You said heavy machinery, which is good. I like that. I know what you meant. CB Distillery's targeted formulations are made from the highest quality, clean ingredients. They all caps the clean, which means you know it's clean. No fluff, no fillers, just effective CBD solutions designed to help support your health. In 2 non-clinical surveys, 81% of customers experienced more calm, 80% said CBD helped with pain after physical activity, and an impressive 90% said they slept better with CBD. And I'm among those 90%. So if you struggle with a health concern and haven't found relief, make the change like we did to CB Distillery. And with over 2 million customers and a solid 100% money back guarantee, CB Distillery is the source to trust. Hooligans have a 20% discount to get you started. Visit cbdistillery.com and use code WHO, WHO, for 20% off. That's cbdistillery.com, code WHO, cbdistillery.com.
Hey, Lindsay Boddy. Naomi Osaka is the 22-year-old tennis phenom who just won the U.S. Open. She's in the news a lot. She's really cool, it seems. But they've also been – I just found out that she's dating Corday, and he looks to be a rapper, but I'm wondering if you could tell me a little bit more about who he is. Thanks. Bye. Crunch, crunch.
Well, Naomi Osaka's a them.
Fully a them, right?
If not before, which I think we said before, now fully a them. She just won the U.S. Open, but like honestly, before that, she was a them as well.
Mm-hmm.
I know more about her than him, obviously. I think most people do. But people are like writing about and are very comforted by and find it very sweet, their relationship, because he was like in the audience the whole time, like cheering her on. And they thought, and everybody was like, that's so cute. They're so cute. They're so cute.
And it's cuter whenever you're in the audience cheering on your girlfriend when the audience is empty because of a pandemic. So you're basically the only person there.
Right. So they're like, every paparazzi photo of the audience is like just him. Like
he's like alone. And he's like, yes.
I didn't even think of that. That's obviously, it's totally it.
Usually you're surrounded by a bunch of like normies and their sunglasses. And in this, it's like,
yeah.
I think he's with family and other friends. Like he's with some other people, but mostly he's alone in that stadium cheering right. on Naomi. And then his mask falls and then he pulls his mask up. Like he's being very conscious about distancing and mask wearing. Good for Cordae.
He has to. There's so many cameras and eyes on them. Before we like go to him fully, my favorite thing about her that I kind of learned throughout like paying vaguely attention to the U.S. Open because I'm not a huge tennis person is that like the Japanese press is obsessed with her. Like obviously she's part Japanese, so they would be, but like everyone's like paying attention to the U.S. Open, mm-hmm. like in Japan.
Yeah, she was born in Japan, yeah.
But the thing that I read that was really interesting about her before we go to him was that, so she, you know, she'd come out every day in a mask and she'd wear a mask with the name of a black person who was killed by the police on it, you know, do awareness thing kind of. And it was great because mm-hmm. it obviously everybody's taking photos of her and it's very prominent and it says two messages. It's, you know, it sends messages, not just wear a mask, you know,
mm-hmm.
but Black Lives Matter as well. And so, you know, it was a really thing. But what I didn't really think about, which somebody tweeted about and then I was like, whoa, was that she did that in part to get Japanese press to talk about Black Lives Matter. Like, they really weren't, and she wore these masks, and then they had to identify the people whose names were on her masks. And it's like, by doing that, they're talking about it. And it's like, oh, well, that's fucking genius. Like, to think internationally like that, which obviously she's doing, is amazing. And I just was like, what a, like, interesting non-tennis-related thing about this person who's, like, very much a tennis star for yeah. somebody like me who doesn't necessarily care a ton about tennis, you know?
And Lewis like, Hamilton oh, did the same thing. Like, he wore, like, an Arrest the Cops That Killed Breonna yeah. Taylor shirt at his races, too. And he talks about yeah. it on the mic. Did you watch this clip of her? Where is the line? It's like, it's really, oh, this is it. She's being interviewed after one of the games, and this is the thing.
You said from the beginning you had seven matches, seven masks, seven names. What was the message you wanted to send, Naomi?
Well, what was the message that you got was more the question. I feel like the point is to make people start talking.
What was the message you got is more the question. It's like, well, what did you get from it? You right. know, like,
yeah, it's like, I can't tell you what to think.
That's not my job. Well, she even says later in that interview, whenever she's like, well, what message did you get? She's like, I'm so busy. She's like, all I do is train. So I yeah. can't even really follow the news. I can't even really follow like every piece of news about social justice and like right. the turmoil that's right. going through the United States. So I just basically get all of my information from social media. I don't have time to do anything else. So I'm going to wear these masks because it's literally the least I can do. But I know people retweet. Like she's like, I know people will learn if I wear the masks. And so even though I'm in the bubble and I don't have time to participate as much as I'd like to, this works and it totally works.
Yeah. And like, honestly, respect for being honest. Like she, mm-hmm. like that's a real honest thing to say. It's like, I can't pay attention to this stuff as well as I might like to, or as much as I think I should be.
Anyway, Naomi Osaka, them, whatever. Her boyfriend, Cordae, who the caller really called about, is a rapper who is it's a sort of an interesting like One Direction-y sort of thing where he was part of a rap collective first, YBN.
It's like less One Direction because they all have like solo like musical experiences, but they would put out like a mixtape together kind
well,
of.
Well, I just mean like that they just broke up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, I know what you mean.
They were a rap collective, YBN. They released one mixtape that got really, really good reviews and was very well received. It came out a few years ago. And they met, the funny thing about how they met is they met playing Grand Theft Auto online. Well, some of the websites that I've read said that they just met on Xbox Live. Some of them actually call out that they met on Grand Theft Auto online. Two of them did, and then Cordae came in later.
Yeah,
they were like gamers. They were a gaming collective and they were a rap collective. They're just like, you know, artists.
Gamers.
So Cordae is part of that group. He released a solo album called The Lost Boy after the YBN mixtape came out, and the solo album did really well, and also got really good reviews. So he sort of like started separating from the group early on. And then as recently, it was like late last month, one of the other members of YBN revealed that they were like over. YBN Namir tweeted, they left this YBN shit in the gutter. Remember that. I'll turn it up myself. So he's basically like, YBN is over. They're all going their own way. But I'm going to keep the like YBN brand, the lifestyle going. But Corday is, I think, the most successful one on his own. And he's obviously getting more notoriety because of his relationship to Nomi Osaka. Because in the past 2 weeks, the number of five things to know about Corday, who is Corday, who is Naomi Osaka's cute like Instagram boyfriend, you know, because everyone's like, he's so cute, he's so positive, he's cheering for her, and there's like so many gifs of him like posing with everyone after the matches and cheering in the crowds. So he's in the middle of getting all of this like coverage that the hooier person of a relationship always gets.
Mm-hmm.
His biggest song, I don't know, I think his biggest song so far is probably, well, he just came out with another song with Roddy Ricch, who we've talked about on the podcast before, but I'll just play Have Mercy, I think, because that was his first single from his alt thing. Anyway, you'll hear it.
Sweet Lord, please have mercy. Baby Jesus, please save us. I know I used up my three favors. Back to sending like a week later. New car, speed racer, copper crib, need acres. Most of all, we all need prayer. Karma coming, beware.
He'll probably be a them soon enough, it seems like. He's already like been nominated for Grammys.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's him.
He's def still a hoe, though.
He's a hoe.
Anne Heche uses Nextdoor to promote her Dancing with the Stars appearance. Please talk about this because I love and hate Nextdoor, and I just love that Anne Heche is using it. Crunch, crunch.
I always say Hesh, it's Heche. Sorry for messing that up. Anne Heche is on Nextdoor. Anne Heche is on Dancing with the Stars.
Should I read it?
Yeah, read it.
Well, first of all, the thing is, I was like, how is this so widespread? Like, how many neighborhoods did she send this to? She sent this to 28 neighborhoods. Like, this is why. Like, I don't know how.
How does Nextdoor work?
Well, it's like you're connected with your neighbors because you post with the neighborhood and you prove that you live there because they send you a postcard and you connect it to this account and you say that you live in the neighborhood and you do. And whatever. The point is, I think if you're on the, you can post to other neighborhoods that you surround. Again, I don't use it. But so it says posted to general in 28 neighborhoods. And that's like, so damn, a lot of people got this message is what I'm saying.
Celestia, geez.
It says, hey, neighbors, loving this connection. Keeps me in touch with the goings on, so I wanted to share mine. I just got cast in Dancing with the Stars this season. Don't know who's a fan or a fan, spelt capital F apostrophe capital A-N-N-E, of mine, but she says if mine, but she means of mine, but wanted to include my broader family. Also, since there's lots of rehearsal in Atlas, my 11-year-old is schooling from home, I was wondering if there are any tutors in the hood who would like to be a part-time position, as my rehearsals often conflict with school hours. Love to keep our locals working any way we can, and I'd love the help. Thanks so much, Anne. This is a very sweet message. I do like this, like, her reaching out for this, like, I love my community, da da da, but I got stuck so hard on I don't know who's a fan or a fan, because what she means is a fan of Dancing with the Stars or a fan of Anne Heche, aka herself, the fan, a fan or a fan.
I can tell you I'm a fan, but I'm not a fan.
I'm not a fan but I'm a fan. Again, capital F apostrophe capital A-N-N-E, a fan.
I don't know what else to say about it. This is everything. That's everything.
That's it. I didn't expect Anne Heche to go viral on Nextdoor, but, you know, I'm glad she did.
Hi, Who Weekly. Long time. Who is Omar Ayuso? Interview Magazine just served me a feature via Instagram on him saying he's a queer icon. I have no idea who he is, but he has 4.4 million Instagram followers. Anyway, who is this person? Thanks. Crunch, crunch.
We've gotten calls about Elite a lot in the past, but it's sort of like why we don't talk about Riverdale much.
I was going to say, like, it's huge internationally. It's one of the biggest, if not the, I think the biggest actually is that show that you like.
Money Heist. I love both of these shows. For a while, Money Heist, I think, was the biggest show on Netflix. I don't think it is anymore. And for a while, Elite was up there.
It's like a sexy Gossip Girl meets Riverdale meets, you know, whatever show. And then I think, and honestly, here's the thing about Elite, kind of blew up these teens' social. Yeah, sorry, you watched it.
Well, here's the thing about Elite, which I've seen every episode of. Elite rules.
Elite, I know you love it.
Elite fucking rules. And I always, like, I have a really hard time with, like, teen shows. Like, Sex Education, I was like, I respect what this is doing, but I cannot watch this. I cannot keep watching this. Like, Riverdale, I was like, this is fun, but I cannot keep watching this. Elite is also about teens, but it's just so fucking crazy what this like, it is a ridiculous show. Every season is a different murder mystery. Sometimes, like, there's the murder mystery that's been going on the whole time. Like, we solved who killed the person, but the person is still around. I don't want to spoil it. But to answer your question, yes, he is a gay icon, because in the show, his, like, gay subplot is presented as, like, normally as every straight subplot. It's just, like, very progressive in the way that it's presented. It's, like, sexy, it's exciting, and it's front and center in the way that, like, you don't really expect the gay subplot to be front and center. Like, it's not tokenized, it's not done with a wink. It is what it is, and it's very cool in that sense. Like, it's the sort of subplot that I can't even imagine having accessible when I was a teen, you know? Anyway, so the show is about, like, this really, 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 really expensive private school, private high school in Spain. And they decide to let...
Gossip Girl.
Right. Yeah. So they decide to let in some working class, like, normies into. And in the first season, it's like...
Normies.
And then one of the normies is this Muslim girl. And she is not only bullied for being a normie, she's bullied for being a Muslim girl. And her parents own a store and she has to work. And they're like, you have to work? That's crazy. And so, and then she falls in love with one of the hunky rich boys. Her brother doesn't go to the school. That's Omar Ayuso. His character's name is also Omar. And he's secretly gay. And he starts fucking one of the really rich, popular kids who is also gay. And whatever. So there's, like, this whole big thing with the two of them. And they have, like, the first big sexy kiss in the show. And it's kind of a big deal. Like, whatever. It's a big deal. But the show is huge.
Yeah. No, I know it's huge. And I fucking love it. I should watch it.
Anyway, thank you for understanding why I just had to talk about Elite. It's just like,
yeah, I love it.
I hate that I like it. Also, Money Heist rules.
Okay, let's keep going. We gotta speed through.
This is the official Freddie Highmore account. Freddie Highmore is not currently active on this or any other social media platform. That is what it says on all of Freddie Highmore's social media accounts. His Instagram, Twitter, I haven't checked Facebook, but probably. I'm obsessed. Zero posts, zero following, 660,000 followers on Instagram. For nothing. Crunch, crunch.
This is what fandom looks like. It's true. Freddie Highmore squatting on his own social media names and not posting shit. Take that, Mark Zuckerberg.
Taking ownership of his socials.
Love it. This is the official Freddie Highmore account. Freddie is not currently active on this or any other social media platform.
He is the good doctor. He is, like, this is good doctor behavior.
This is good doctor behavior. This is good social media behavior.
Okay. Thank you for calling. That's a great call. Great call.
Now we're going to take a call about the opposite of this.
Okay, great.
You're having a dinner party. It's last minute. You've realized the cocktail I'm making, this happens to Bobby all the time, the specialty cocktail that Josh is making, we're missing an item. We're missing a piece. And it can't be, there's no substitutes. We have to go to the liquor store, but we don't have time.
We have to get this particular vermouth or Amaro.
But we can't leave because the oven's on. What are you going to do? What's the solution? What would you do?
DoorDash, because I know that I can get local restaurants, local stores, local establishments, and get it to my apartment in no time.
If you're looking to celebrate with some special drinks, here's to alcohol delivers with DoorDash. Getting ready to host, looking to celebrate a special night in, what about a bottle of wine to pair with dinner or some beer to go with your chips and dip? No matter the occasion, if drinks are called for, DoorDash has you covered.
And then you know what? You tip right within the app. They get 100% of the tip. You got to tip your DoorDash drivers always. So save up to 25% off up to a $15 value when you spend $35 or more with code WHO24. So whether you're grabbing drinks for an event or staying in for the night, DoorDash is here to help you have a great evening, any evening. Terms apply. Must be 21 plus to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Delivery and promotions available only in select markets.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. Long time, first time. Who is PP Cocaine?
Crunch, crunch.
Lindsay, Lindsay was like, don't look this up, because if you don't know who it is, don't look it up, because I have to reveal it to you.
Well, this is some real fucking youth culture, I have to say, before we get into it. So if we sound dumb talking about this, it's because we are dumb, and it is dumb. Like, we're too dumb for
we're
this.
We're old.
This is... We're old. But the reason why I did want to talk about it, because sometimes I've never heard of the person and I look it up and I'm like, this is way too youth culture for me. Like, we're going to sound crazy and also whatever. But this person I had heard of because my friend Wilder has a TikTok problem. And he was like, okay, I have to like quit TikTok for a little bit because I'm on it for like 6 hours a day. But have you heard of PP? Have you heard of PP cocaine? And I was like, I have not heard of PP cocaine. He's like, you got to look up PP cocaine. So, okay. So the PP cocaine got a little bump from the New York Times. Meaning it's not really a bump. Like, PP cocaine is famous in
cocaine.
Her own,
you're telling me cocaine,
right?
Got a bump?
I'm saying, but PP got mentioned in the New York Times, and the reason why this is relevant is because PP, yes,
PP got mentioned.
PP got mentioned in the New York Times because they were talking about how, you know, WAP is so explicit, but like you don't even know until like PP is like beyond WAP. Like, you think WAP's bad? Have you met PP cocaine? So they mentioned her, and I want Bobby, I told Bobby not to click or listen to the song until I'd say, because in the video, which is iconic, there's a very big shift in tone when PP cocaine reveals what she sounds like what her rap voice is. Okay, Bobby, you're allowed to click on it now.
Okay. Also, PP cocaine is used to be known as Trap Bunny Bubbles, but is now goes by PP cocaine, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Let me yes. click. It says, do not click until we record. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm watching.
I'm a little cum slut, short and low. Bend me over and I will shout. I'm a little cum slut, short and loud. Lay me down and eat me out.
You thought this was your average lullaby? No. Really? I just want you to fuck me to sleep. Trap, bunny, bubble. My cheeks clap, daddy.
Has anything ever been more like genetically modified to offend people, to offend parents? Like, I feel like if
parents.
Like, I feel like if I was a parent, just a normal parent, and I heard PP cocaine, I would turn into like the parents' council. I'd be like, we need
Lindsay's fully Anita Bryant after listening to PP cocaine.
I'm like,
Lindsay's Nancy Reagan.
Yeah. I'm like, slap an explicit sticker over her face. Now.
I wish kids still bought physical media. I can't put a sticker on anything. Oh, no.
Well, this is like, this makes WAP, this is porn compared to WAP. This is literal explicit porn compared. WAP is like child's play compared to this. And the other cool thing about, I don't know if you noticed, but pee-pee cocaine is gay. So you have like this like lesbian narrative in here too. Like, pee-pee isn't like trying to get on that dick. She's very not. That's not her thing.
Wow.
This is huge on TikTok.
PP was born in 2001, so PP's 18 or 19, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, so PP was an exotic
sex
dancer.
Positive.
PP, very sex positive. And her stuff is really fun and weird, and people were dancing to it on TikTok, and she kind of spun that into a thing. The other funny thing about the video you just watched is, did you notice, like, when she lip syncs her own rapping, it doesn't make any sense because she's lip syncing so, like, quietly and, like,
and she's not
tamely,
screaming,
but her but her voice sounds like your face you'd make when you sound like that would be like, ah, you know,
like all of your veins would be bulging. Yeah.
yeah.
This is funny. So I'm reading this Vulture story by Zoe Haylock, and it says alt and straight TikTok both agree on rapper PP cocaine. Alt TikTok likes her and straight TikTok like her.
Alt, because she dresses alt, and she's dancing to a lesbian song, which is when Charli D'Amelio danced to a PP song, people commented, she's dressing alt and dancing to a lesbian song. She's on our side. So, like, Charli, who's, like, the most straight TikTok as they come, kind of, like, took a walk on the PP side, the wild side, PP cocaine side.
Wow. Wow. Now I know who PP cocaine is, and I know what
isn't that wild?
Is.
Like,
yikes.
It's a wild door to open. That's like a door in the WAP castle where, like, they're walking through the WAP mansion or whatever, and they, like, open the door and it's PP cocaine, and I'm like, oh no.
Cardi's like, let's shut that one. Let's go back to Normani, please. It's really funny.
It.
Wait, oh, Normani's still doing the splits. Great. Have you seen the photos of, like, Normani is so into her own meme, because did you see the photo she posted, like, going to the studio, and it's like all those photos of her, like, walking to the studio, inside the studio, walking outside the studio, and it's like, Normani, we don't care if you're on the way to the studio or if you're in the studio, just release the music, Normani. Like,
yeah.
Hey, Who Weekly, Emily Ratajkowski wrote a personal essay, and it's really good. I would like you to discuss Crunch Crunch, Me Inside.
I'm not surprised that she wrote a really good essay at all.
No, I'm surprised by where the essay went, because I read it not knowing what it was about. It was just like, oh, Emirata wrote an essay.
Yeah, because a lot of celebs have commented on the paparazzi thing, because the paparazzi trolling. So basically she starts her essay talking about how she was sued by paparazzo company or whatever for money for using a picture of herself, like, on her social media, which has been a thing, like, that celebs have been talking about now for the past, like, 2 years since it started happening. And I like that she kind of escalated that notion.
It's like a multi-headed beast, and that's like a small head, but she's like, this is the actual problem.
Like, but also the idea that you're a model and it's your job to have your image proliferated. That makes sense, right? And and then, but where do you draw the line as to what your image is, which is, then she talks about the Richard Prince series, which again has been covered, where he painted celebrity Instagrams with his comments in them and then sold them for money. And people were, it was kind of controversial, because it was like, well, you're painting me, you're painting my Instagram. Like, I never gave you permission for that.
Which is why she opens with the first thing, because the first, like, the way it escalates, you're right, the way it escalates is actually incredibly smart, because it's like, here's a thing that, like, we can have a debate over this, right? The first thing you can have a debate over, because yes, the paparazzi took the photo,
and
I shouldn't
have posted
it. And the
second thing you can have a debate over,
the second
too.
One, right. So it's like, the second one, there's a debate here. By the time she gets to the end, it's like, I was sexually assaulted.
You're so right. It goes from being like something that's kind of a debatable thing that we could have a real conversation about, to something that is less debatable, meaning like, Richard Prince is a fucking asshole. But is the idea of him doing this art actually the conversation we're having about who owns what art? Like, yes, he's making a ton of money off other people's images, and that's fucking terrible. But he's causing the conversation, which is what's interesting about all this, between like, image and art and who owns what and da-da-da, right? And when you put your image on Instagram, do you own it? No, you actually don't. You actually don't.
Yeah.
When you put shit on Instagram, bye-bye. You know, like, whatever. So that's interesting. And then you're right, the third story, which is like, no, really, what's really like devious about these stories that I'm telling you is that what ends up happening is people think that they fucking own you. They own your image and they own you.
For all of these reasons that I explained, it makes it impossible to like avoid these sorts of situations, because the entire culture of modeling and like making money off of your face and your image complicates everything down to this.
Oh, yeah. And especially when kind of sexuality is involved as well, because it just becomes very messy. I like too that the kind of the end, you can read the essay. I feel like we don't really need to go into depth about an essay that's out there for you to read, and it's good, and you should read it. But like, what ends up kind of happening is that the guy who violates her puts out a book with her name on it and sells photos that were supposed to be used for another purpose. And when she goes to legally fight that, she finds out it is actually more expensive for her to fight this than for just to accept it. And it's very much reminiscent of the sex tape scandals of the aughts and late the early aughts or the mid aughts. I forget when all that happened, but it was kind of like, well, you could like get this taken down, but spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on the legal fees, or take some of the profits, which kind of implies to the press that you approve of what's getting put out there, which might not be what you approve of at all, but at least you're getting a piece of your own image. Like, there really is no like good solution to these problems.
And she accuses him of, I mean, sort of in a roundabout way, accuses him of forging the documents that like gave him the rights to publish it. And her agent, I guess her manager at the time, I don't think she was her agent anymore, but it's like, I don't remember ever signing anything for this guy. Like, we did not sign anything for this guy.
Out of the bag, she says, like, it doesn't matter. It's like, once the images are out there, it doesn't, there's nothing you can do to like put the cat back in the bag.
And she says that he reached out to her and was like, hey, I'm selling these, like, brazenly, like, I'm selling all these books. Can you promote these books on your Instagram? Which is crazy.
Right. So we're just having no kind of concept of why that would be a problem. Yeah. I mean, the whole thing, you should read it. She's a Who Weekly topic. Love Emrata. And so we had to obviously bring it up.
Yeah. I mean, as a conversation about about ownership, it's fascinating. As a conversation about sexual assault, it's like maddening and terrible and harrowing, but like it's a lot of things.
And as a conversation about like media and photo use and what the internet means to that and paparazzi photos and the value of a paparazzi photo, it is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good for her for writing it, honestly. Let's do a quick, yeah. We don't have time for Who Then, but we have time to do a quick game of
a new segment. Yes, no.
Yes, no.
Yeah.
Yes, no.
Yes, no.
Really quickly. We're just going to end with a quick game of yes, no.
A new segment. Yes, no.
Does Ben Affleck know who Charli D'Amelio is? And if so, did he learn who she is via the Dunkin' Donuts bond? Crunch, crunch.
Yes.
Okay. Now it's time for the next question.
Can we talk about how Katherine Heigl and Bon Jovi fall in love in New Year's Eve?
Can we talk about how Katherine Heigl and Bon Jovi fall in love in New Year's Eve, the Gary Marshall movie? The answer is no. And with thank you for listening to another episode of Who's There, our weekly call-in show. Call in at 619-WHO-THEM to leave questions, comments, and concerns for our next episode. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. That'd be great. We love your ratings and reviews so much.
Don't forget, we're on Patreon. Don't forget, we're on Patreon. Is this not enough for you? Well, guess what? There's more.
If you want 8 extra episodes a month,
whoa.
First of all, I don't know what's wrong with you, but second of all, you can get them if you want them. You can get them if you want them. They're there.
Or you can just support us for what you do listen to, and that's great.
Yeah, it's fine.
To support the pod that you listen to. I don't know.
Whatever you want. And really, thank you for listening. Have a great weekend, and wear a mask. Bye.
Bye.
To be famous.
I saw Tenet and Robert Pattinson is so hot. Can you talk about John David Washington? Robert Pattinson's so hot. Crunch, crunch.
Hi. Long time. I just found out we're getting a Lidl in my town. Lidl? I don't even know what it is, but I just know of it because of you guys. I know that's a blast from the past, but, and I have nobody to share it with but you guys. So, crunch, crunch. Thanks.
Lido.
Hi, Lindsay. Hi, Bobby. Who is the worst? Crunch, crunch.